Support for Upfront Inside Atlanta's entertainment industry comes from the Bronze Lens Film Festival, online at bronzelens.com.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to legendary film actor and director Bill Duke about his new indie film, Created Equal. He also has some words of wisdom for aspiring content creators and much more. Atlanta filmmaker Bobby Huntley is in the studio to chat about his latest project, The Charlie Movie, which debuts this weekend at the Bronze Lens Film Festival. We also catch up with veteran actor John Marshall Jones, who is starring in a socially conscious film, The Last Revolutionary. The former star of Smart Guy gets real about the TV and film industry and the importance of playing positive characters. Upfront will also be playing new music from Najee featuring Incognito, Will Downing with Avery Sunshine, and throwback sounds from The Roots featuring Erykah Badu. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Rose Locke Casting is looking for Caucasian men and women for the upcoming film First Man, which is based on the authorized biography First Man, A Life of Neil A. Armstrong. The project is looking for individuals between the ages of 18 to 65 who live in and around the Atlanta area. The men must have short hair or willing to cut their hair, and the women must have natural hair color, no highlights. If this is you, please submit 3 updated photos of your head, body, and profile, along with your height and weight, to extras at roselockcasting.com with NASA males and NASA females in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, Starz announced this week that it is developing a new action drama series under the working title Black Samurai with Jerry Bruckheimer and starring Academy Award winner Common, based on the Black Samurai novels written by Mark Olden. The series will follow the character of Robert Sand, a highly trained American Army Ranger whose life is transformed when he meets a legendary Japanese master who invites him to train as a samurai after his beloved sensei and samurai brothers are killed by mercenaries. Sand is thrusted onto a worldwide journey of both revenge and self-discovery. Wu-Tang Clan's RZA and Mitchell Diggs is also executive producing for Wu Films. Congrats to Survivor's Remorse star Jesse T. Usher. He will star in Son of Shaft. The 25-year-old actor will play an FBI agent and cyber expert who finds himself partnering with his estranged father, Shaft, for an uneasy collision of old school meets new school. Richard Roundtree will be reprising his role, and Samuel L. Jackson is currently negotiating a deal to reprise his role as Shaft's nephew. Production for Son of Shaft will begin this fall. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
This is Jasmine Guy, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
Now what you need to do is talk to your president about all those kids that are being killed in Chicago and Detroit and Los Angeles and Houston and Dallas and Atlanta and every city in the country. And you know who's killing them? Other black people.
Those Confederate flags have got to come down. Time for the days of the good old boys to finally be over.
What exactly do you expect me to do? You want me to drop everything that I've worked for? Give up everything I earned?
You just heard a clip from the independent film The Last Revolutionary, which stars Levy Lee Simmons, Marla Gibbs, and my first guest, John Marshall Jones. The veteran actor, who's currently starring in the popular drama Bosch and Bounce TV's In the Cut, is in town promoting the film, which shows the confrontation between two old friends whose lives have taken different paths since their Black liberation days. It is a very relevant piece that speaks to a number of social issues that still plague our country, and premieres later on today at the Bronze Lens Film Festival. Well, good morning, John Marshall Jones, and welcome to Upfront. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. We're really excited to have you on the air. You know, you've been in the industry for quite some time, but you were actually starring on one of my favorite shows a long time ago, and you're actually on one of my favorite new shows. I'm talking about Smart Guy, but my favorite new show, one of my favorite new shows, is In the Cut.
Oh, hey, thank
TV.
You.
Yeah. But we're actually going to be talking about a film that is going to be here this weekend at the Bronze Lens Film Festival. We're talking about The Last Revolutionary. And I just wanted to kind of go into what was the inspiration behind this particular film?
Well, The Last Revolutionary was written by my co-star, Levy Lee Simon. And he actually interviewed some former revolutionaries and former Black Panthers and came up with the concept that many of them have moved on in life, you know, and become doctors and judges and grandfathers. But there are some that have still held on to the original principles of social change. And he wanted to explore what would happen if those two ideas came into conflict with each other.
Now, in this film, you also work with the great Marla Gibbs. What was it like just sort of being around her? She's been in the industry for so many years now. So what was it like working along with her as well?
Well, it's always an honor to work with the people who blaze the trail for you. And Marla's work on 227 in many ways blaze the trail and open up the opportunity for me to come along and do a show like Smart Guy.
Right.
And I'm hoping that there are some young actors out there now that are seeing me in the same vein, that the work that I've done is going to open up the trail for them to do some of the present work they're putting together now.
Right. Now, how did you prepare for this character? Or let me ask you this. Are you one of those actors that once you start filming, you remain in that character the entire time? So did you sort of come at it from that angle with this particular project?
No. I mean, this project actually asks a lot of the character that I'm playing because his, without spoiling it, his arc is so wide, and the performance goes from comedic to dramatic. And so, so I didn't stay in the character all day, every day.
Right.
What I tried most to do was to find the humanity of the character and be true to that in every frame.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. What advice would you give for a young filmmaker or young actor who is looking to do more socially conscious work versus a comedy or versus a romantic comedy or even a horror, but something that really makes you sit and think? Because this is a type of film that really makes you think about what's happening right now, what's going on, and then what I can do. So what advice would you give for someone that wants to continue or wants to do films, more films like this?
It is impossible to do something for your dream every day and have it turn into nothing, even if other people can't see it while you're doing it. You know, if you start and you have a room and you put a book in that room, one day you got a book. You do that for a month. After 30 days, you have a pile. You do that for a year, and after a year, you have a library. Nobody will see the library when you put the first book in. So you have to be willing to see your dream, work on it every day, and hold the vision, even if nobody can see it until it's all put together. If you can do that, you can do anything.
Yeah. Now, you're going to be taking a break from Bosch. How has that been working on that particular set? Because that's a very interesting show.
Bosch has been really amazing. Titus Welliver, Jamie Hector are really, really giving actors. And so we really get to get into it in some of these scenes. And if you watch the Bosch is based on a series of books, and so every season is the play out of an entire book. And so it's got a great arc to it, It really feels like it's a like you're watching a feature film with every episode. And I'm right now working on season four,
okay,
which will be coming out in March or April next year.
Okay, cool. Now let's go back to when I had mentioned in the very beginning of this segment, In the Cut, which again is one of my favorite shows to watch. How's that been working with Bounce TV? Because they're a fairly new network, but they're making some really, really bold steps and bold moves. And so what has that relationship been like working with them?
Well, when you're working with a new network, they tend to give you a little bit more latitude to create. And so the executive writer-executive on In the Cut is Bentley Evans.
Right.
And Bentley was one of the producers on Martin and also on the Jamie Foxx show. So he brings that tradition with him. And for those that don't know, In the Cut is starring Dorian Wilson from The Parkers and Kalita Smith from The Bernie Mac Show, and then myself, of course, from Smart Guy. And they are giving me complete comic latitude to do whatever it is that I want as long as it's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. And that's kind of a dream situation to be in.
Yeah. I've asked this of other actors that are on television programs now. There seems to be this renaissance of African-American television programming. I mean, you've got what's happening on Bounce and what's going on over at OWN and also on some of the other networks, BET and things of that nature. How does it feel to be a part of this? And do you think that it's now finally here to stay? A lot of times I hear, wow, this reminds me of the 90s when you had a sprinkle of shows, but now we've got so much on television now. Is it here to stay? Do we think that now we have the more African-American images? Are those images here to stay?
Well, I believe so. I believe that the growth of the OWN network and of Bounce TV and of TV One and the grandfather of all is BET.
Right.
That the growth of those has allowed these networks to really find a business model that works for this particular target audience. So what would happen, the reason why we would show up and peter out is because networks like Fox and now CW would use the urban market to establish themselves. And once they had established, a price for their advertising, then they would go mainstream and leave the urban market behind.
Mm.
So you would have shows that would show up and be hot for a while, and then all of a sudden there'd be no black shows. Where OWN and Bounce, it does not appear, are positioning themselves to go mainstream. They're actually positioning themselves to serve the audience that they started with and expand that. So I think that in this regard, it's very, very different.
Well, John Marshall Jones, thank you so very much for being a guest on Upfront today. Tell our audience when and where this film is going to take place today.
Well, they can come out today to the Westin Peachtree Hotel at 11:45 a.m. We're at the Bronze Lens Film Festival. The name of the film is The Last Revolutionary. We're nominated for Best Feature Film and also Best Actor in the festival. It's at 11:45 a.m. at the Westin Peachtree Hotel. If you guys have followed my career, if you like In the Cut, you like Smart Guy, you like the things that I'm doing, I'm trying to make sure that I consistently create imagery that will make you proud of the images that you see on the screen. So please come out and support. I'll be there signing autographs and taking pictures, and I'll stand with you even if you got your phone on a selfie stick.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and we'll see you later on today.
Okay. Thank you.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the 2017 Bronze Lens Film Festival, presenting Brunch with the Brothers, August 27th at the Westin Peachtree Plaza, and featuring Greenleaf actor Keith David, Queen Sugar actors Tymon Kyle Durrett and Omar Dorsey, plus E. Roger Mitchell from BET's The Quad. The event will include inspirational lessons from their journeys, conversation, and much more. Information is available at bronzelens.com.
Hey, Upfront listeners, you can now follow us on Instagram under Upfront the Show. We'll have exclusive photos, giveaways, and much more. That's Upfront the Show on Instagram.
Tran.
And you are listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
Woo! Charlie. You have to explain this to me. Who the hell goes to a club at 8 in the damn morning?
It's therapeutic.
Therapeutic?
Charlie got a sister.
Well, she had a sister. She kicked the bucket.
The bucket?
The bucket.
Bummer.
How about going to your dead sister's closet looking for her secret, freaky bag of sex toys?
Wow! I own my own business. My email box is always open. I mean, Kayla, you do hair. That's what you're good at, so you have your own salon. And Charlie, you... Charlie, if I know anything about you, then I know you're nosy behind either found this letter or I'm dead.
My sister's sending me on a scavenger hunt all over the city.
There are some things I've left behind for you. You're going to have to work for it.
That was a clip from the new independent film, La Vie Magnifique de Charlie, that was co-written and directed by my next guest, Atlanta filmmaker Bobby Huntley. The film stars Courtney Price as the lovable and quirky Charlie, who struggles to remain carefree after the death of her sister. Everyone is taken aback by her unorthodox approach to grieving. Huntley stopped by the Upfront Studios this week to chat about the film, which is premiering this weekend at the Bronze Lens Film Festival. He also opens up about his other projects and being the catalyst for this year's hit BET series on the life of R&B music stars, New Edition.
Well, Bobby Huntley, good morning and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I am awesome and excellent, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. This has been a long time coming, right?
Oh, indeed, man. Been trying to come here for years. I'm ready. Let's go. I finally made it.
Yeah. So today is a very big day for you. The Bronze Lens Film Festival will be screening your film, La Vie Magnifique de Charlie. Am I saying that right?
You have it 100% correct. I'm so proud.
Or for those that just simply want to say the Charlie film.
The Charlie movie, yes, yeah. Yes. Instagram, hashtag, all that. Yeah. The Charlie movie, correct.
That is taking place today at 5 p.m. over at the Westin Peachtree Plaza. And that, again, is all a part of the Bronze Lens Film Festival.
Yes.
How did you get that entered into the festival? What was that process like?
That's a story into itself. I actually received a letter saying no.
Oh.
Right. But I was like, not my God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I fought hard. I campaigned like, this film is perfect for Bronze Lens. I've had a love affair with Bronze Lens since the beginning. Sneaking in. I didn't have the money. Sorry, y'all. You got to do what you got to do sometimes. But I just loved it. And I fought hard. And then they said, you know what? Actually, they announced it. And people called me, and I had no idea.
Wow.
So that was a huge blessing. I got on my knees and thanked God and everything for that, because I wasn't expecting that at all. So Wow. It worked out.
Yeah. Let's talk about this film, because I had a chance to see this.
Yeah.
And it really shows off Atlanta. It shows some amazing actresses doing their thing. So what was the inspiration behind this film?
I just wanted to create something that was funky, different, quirky, telling a real story that has real heart and grit to it, but in a fun kind of different way, and celebrating Black women and all their different relationships to each other and awesome to themselves. So I got together with my co-creator, Nikki Wade, the diva Nikki Wade. And I was like, yo, help me write this thing. Help me build this world. And we both love Prince. So we wanted to have a funky soundtrack inspired by him and just take Atlanta and the whole Prince sound and vibe and the 80s kind of vibe and throw it all together. And of course, the French title comes from one of my favorite films entitled Amelie. It's a French film, so that's where I got the French title from. Why do I have that long French title? But it makes it different.
Right.
So that's what I like about it.
Right. Now, what was it like working with Nikki? Because you're kind of the director and she was the writer of the film.
Yeah,
so
co-writer.
So what was it like working with her on this?
Oh, yeah. She's just like my sounding board. Like, I trust her vision. She trusts my vision. We go back and forth. We go through the whole bit. We talk. But the love is there. And we put so much love and passion into what we do. And at the end of it, when the people see it, there's laughter and tears of like, we did it again. We did it again. So it's something in that crazy formula that's magic. So it definitely works out.
Now, Courtney Prince is the actress that plays Charlie. What was it about her? Because it's so funny. I've seen her outside of the role, and yet she reminds me of Charlie, like for real, for real.
I will tell you this. The audition process was so crazy because we were really pushing, hey, we want the whole carefree black girl thing. So just be carefree, fun, and light. Yo, we wanted to see that light coming from inside.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of actors, they're classically trained. And you know they want to give you that all my life I had to fight audition. Yeah, I was like, that's not what this movie is about.
Right.
We need to see that lightness. And when it comes down to it, she was Charlie. She's, you know, the film deals with loss. She's dealt with a very huge loss in her life. She's dealt with all the grieving processes and trying to avoid an ideal and all those things. So when she pulled us aside and told us that, it was like it was the perfect. It was perfect. It was clandestine. It was meant to be. So she's definitely Charlie.
Yeah. And what you're showing in the film is you actually have these three different African-American images. I mean, you've got Charlie, who's kind of this carefree. You've got her friend, who's sort of like a no-nonsense, tell it like it is. And then you have the one who is very sexually free.
Very free, yes. Panda kitty.
Yeah. So how did you decide to come up with these three different images of black women?
I mean, just wanted, of course, them to be all different, have their own kind of, and I've always seen like having a team Panda Kitty, a team Kayla. I wanted everyone to see themselves in through all these, you know, different characters, and just to have a balance, you know, and some sort of an anchor for Charlie, because Charlie can be any and everywhere at any given time. That's just to have a balance of they're different. They may not agree with everything, but they have her. You know what I'm saying? I think that was a very powerful image to see and have.
Now, what was it like making this film here in Atlanta? Because you could have taken this anywhere else in the world, but you decided to keep it right here in Atlanta. So what was that like shooting right here?
Atlanta is just home for me. And being a military vet and living all over the world, and I really just wanted to have a film in my canon as a director that kind of just celebrates it. But I didn't want it to be stereotypical. You know, I wanted to shoot Atlanta in a very different way, but you still know that it's Atlanta. So it's definitely my love letter to Atlanta. It's my love letter to black women. And it just came together beautifully. And then, you know, we did it with no budget. You know, we went and stole shots when we could, you know, the whole independent film thing. But it was just an amazing experience. And we worked really, really hard on it.
Yeah. Now, you call it a letter to black women. Why do you call it that?
Because, and I didn't know this when we were making it, I had a hunch, but there were like, I read some articles that came up and there was like, there's no real coming of age stories for black women. Or if it is, it's very traumatic and dramatic or really heavy. And even though we do deal with some, you know, very, you know, serious, you know, issues such as, you know, depression, even sickle cell and all these different things, is done in such a way where you feel lifted at the end of it, you know, and I definitely want people to love their loved ones even more and not take for granted the relationships that they have in their life. So it's really an optimistic film. And of course, we need that at this time. So, you know, so just adding to, you know, this whole push of having a more different, positive reflection of black women in film and media, I felt was very important for me to do.
Yeah. So I'm going to go there. And you know what I'm talking about.
Go for it. Bam.
Many people may not know this, but you actually had created a New Edition film before it became this New Edition series on BET. Can we talk about that?
Okay, what can
I say? Are we allowed to talk about that?
No, we could definitely talk about it. I mean, you know, it was just a fan-made trailer. You know, I just got out of film school at that point, and this was a story I've always wanted to tell. And actually, I ran into Belleville DeVoe a few years before. I was like, hey, I want to tell your story, but if you're just some random dude saying it, it's like in one ear and out the other.
Yeah.
So this is how me and Nikki first started working together, because her son actually looks just like Ronnie DeVoe. So, you know, so, and I felt it was important for me to have somebody who was around back then. You know, the woman perspective, you know, she's the one that had their pictures on her wall.
Yeah,
you know
the
what
fan.
Saying?
Yeah, the big fan.
So we just did like a fan-made trailer and put it out. It went viral and all these different things. What I was hoping for was like the whole Patty Pie kind of thing, where they'd be like, hey, you know, come on tour with us. Yeah, come on this project. You know, it didn't quite happen that way, but all things in God's timing. I was able to make some very powerful connections through there. It got my foot in the door for sure. So with not only Charlie, but my short film, Louisiana 1961, which will be turning into a feature film, is getting developed now. It kind of shows what I could do with nothing, as I said before, and getting the right people in place. I have, you know, fortunately, very, you know, powerful people watching me and knowing what my moves are and knowing what I'm doing, so that they can understand what Bobby Huntley Films is about. And moving forward, you know, I can have some key players behind me. So,
yeah. Now, what is some key advice that you would give to an aspiring, you know, filmmaker? Because that was a very big project for you. It didn't kind of go exactly where you wanted it to go. But like you said, you were able to utilize that experience for and towards two other films that you have. So what advice would you give to someone that may be wanting to do exactly what you're doing?
Don't let your lack of financial resources or anything like that. This is my mantra. I tell this everywhere to everybody. Don't let that hinder your creativity. If you say you're going to get a project done, get it done. It doesn't have to be perfect. Because I spent a few years chasing perfection and being too scared to put anything out. The New Edition thing was the first thing. I was like, just put it out and see what happens. So, just stay creative and stay the goal and keep going for it.
Well, Bobby, thank you so much for stopping by the Upfront Studios. It's been a pleasure having you here.
Thank you for having
me. Yeah, yeah. Again, we're talking about Bobby Huntley's film, La Vie Magnifique de Charlie. It is taking place today at 5 p.m. over at the Western Peachtree Plaza, and that's all a part of the Bronze Lens Film Festival. Bobby, congratulations once again. And
thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity. I look forward to seeing everybody out there. Let's go. Yeah. The Charlie movie.
Hey, Upfront listeners, join me tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. as I host the Atlanta screening of 90 Days. The viewing will take place in Midtown's historic Plaza Theater and is part of the Cinema and Social Justice Sunday for this year's Bronze Lens Film Festival. Check out WCLK.com for more details. The 90 Days Atlanta screening is presented by AIDS Healthcare Foundation and the Black Leadership AIDS Crisis Coalition.
Davis here. You're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius. Take it away, Ray!
My last guest is the iconic filmmaker and actor, Bill Duke. The legendary entertainer is promoting his new independent film, Created Equal, which has been making its way around the festival circuit. Tommy Riley is a cocky, up-and-coming attorney who begrudgingly takes on a case for Sister Alejandra Ali Batista, who's desperate to become a priest in the Catholic Church. Against his supervisor's wishes, Tommy files suit against the Archdiocese of New Orleans for sex discrimination without justifiable cause. As the trial unfolds, an extremist concocts a plot to stop the heresy against the church by attacking and threatening to kill Alejandra if they don't back off. Created Equal features Lou Diamond Phillips, Greg Allen Williams, and Yohansi Miles. It will close out this weekend's Bronze Lens Film Festival tomorrow night at 8 p.m. at the Georgia Pacific Auditorium. Check out my exclusive with Bill Duke as he talks about the film and much more. Well, good morning, Mr. Bill Duke, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Uh, I'm well, and thank you for having me. Much appreciated.
No, not a problem. This is a huge pleasure for us to have you on the show. You're such an iconic and legendary filmmaker, and so this is our pleasure having you on the show. But I want to go right into this amazing film that you have, Created Equal. This is actually based off of a novel that was written by Roger A. Brown. How did you learn about this particular story?
Theda Carlton, the producer, reached out to my agent, and once I read the script and the book, I really wanted to be involved. So I thought it was a great message, a great message from women empowerment. And also, I liked the fact that it pointed to the fact that both sides had a point of view that should be respected, the church and the nun.
Okay. Now, was it hard translating the story from the book?
Always. The book is hundreds of pages, et cetera. You got to break it down into 90 minutes, which is maybe a tenth of that. So
yeah,
it's always a challenge to get the core story. And then how do you make people feel something for the people that you want them to feel something for?
Yeah. Now, this film features the amazing Lou Diamond Phillips. We also have a couple of other actors. Greg Allen Williams is also in this production. What was it like, I guess, in your mind, did you have an idea of who you thought should play out these characters?
Yes. Once the casting director sent us the people that they thought were great, and we had a choice of several folks, and when Lou Diamond Phillips said yes, we all just kind of shouted because he's one of my favorite actors.
Yeah.
He's incredible. And also an incredible person, by the way. And so are the other actors. I mean, it was low-budget film, as you know, but everybody collaborated and worked hard. Shot a lot of nights with mosquitoes and all kinds of things. But
yeah.
We got through it, and we think the film turned out pretty well.
Yeah. Now, there are so many different themes, but one of the themes that I think that really stands out and is very timely at this point in human history is this message of equality. Do you think that is the main theme or the overall arching theme of the film is really this story of equality for all people?
Yes, equality for all people. And it's something that I hope, particularly in these times, that we take seriously, because if we do not, the suffering will continue on so many levels. But we have to talk about the equality. I was in the hospital with my godson not long ago, and because he had an emergency, and I heard screams and I heard pain. And the thing about that, those screams and pain, not one of them had color. They were human screams and human pains. And that's the point we want to make.
How have audiences responded to the film?
Very, very positively. Some emotionally, and some just, they're glad we're talking about the issue, and they were very appreciative. So it's something that, you know, has been celebrated so far.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I want to ask you, I want to step away from this particular film, because you have worked on so many amazing films, not only behind the scenes, but also in front of the camera. Is there a particular film that really stands out in your mind as like, wow, this was such an amazing experience. This is a film that I'll never, ever forget.
Oh, man, there's so many. As an actor, I would say Predator Down with Arnold and everybody. That was a great experience. And American Gigolo with Richard Gere was fun. I was just in a film with Mr. Cage and down in Brussels, Belgium, and that was a great experience coming out later this year, next year. But I just enjoyed the experience. But directing wise, I think one of my first major films was Deep Cover with Lawrence Fishburne and Jeff Goldblum.
Right.
And I had fun working on Sister Act 2 with Whoopi Goldberg, who's a wonderful human being, by the way. And Hoodlum with Lawrence Fishburne again. Those are three experiences I really, really enjoy.
Yeah. Want to ask you, what advice would you give to an aspiring filmmaker and or actor that is looking to get into the industry. So many opportunities now have been afforded to African Americans in terms of film and television. So what advice would you give to someone that, is looking to get into this industry?
Simple. Stop waiting. Stop waiting to be discovered and discover yourself. You have people like the people who created It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's been on television for 9 years, and it started off with web episodes. Issa Rae, the Awkward Dark Girl, she now has a deal with HBO. The people who are really taking advantage of and leveraging new technology, the fact that Tangerine was made with 4 iPhones, it's a message that you don't have to wait to be discovered. You can discover yourself. And if you collect a certain eyeballs, they will come to you. So I hope that young people understand it's called show business. And your passion is welcome, but your business skills, your understanding of the industry has to be really, really, really gone after in terms of understanding how it's run.
Yeah. Now, biopics seem to be very popular these days. It used to be a time where every now and again we get a story of someone's life, but now so many biopics are coming out. Is there someone in, history whose story you would love to be able to bring to the big screen?
Toussaint Louverture, who confronted Napoleon and won. He was a great army specialist in Haiti at that time. But that's a story that needs to be told. Paul Robeson, great, great human being, a pioneer. I would love to see his story told one day. So there are a lot. There are a lot.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I know that you are extremely busy, but thank you so much for stopping by the Upfront Studios. We're talking to the legendary director, actor, filmmaker Bill Duke, and we're talking about his new film Created Equal, which will be playing this weekend during the Bronze Lens Film Festival. Thank you so much for taking time with us, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Well, God bless you, and thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd really like to thank all of my special guests, John Marshall Jones, Bobby Huntley, and Bill Duke. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you. Please join us next Saturday, September 2nd at 9 a.m. for a special edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Support for Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry comes from the Bronze Lens Film Festival, online at bronzelens.com.